WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program and good morning. Thank you for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Our focus now shifts to the business of health insurance. A survey of employers has found the cost of family health care coverage in the U.S. is now at a record high. It's a cost that employers mostly pay, but employers do pay too. It's having an impact on both. Joining us this morning is John Tozzi, healthcare reporter at Bloomberg, who's been writing and reporting on this story extensively. John, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning.
I want to talk a little bit about this top line number. Talk to us a little bit about the $20,000 mark and why that's a record high now.
Sure. I mean, so that's the average cost of a family health insurance policy. That's a combination of what employers contribute and what employees contribute to their premiums. And it is a record high. I mean, it's, it's pretty much a record high every year when they do the survey. I think most people are familiar that, the cost of health insurance keeps increasing. And importantly, it's increasing faster than workers' wages, faster than inflation, faster than economic growth as a whole. So, you look at healthcare, whether you're a family trying to pay for your premiums or a business trying to provide coverage for your employers, and the increase in costs is just outpacing, the trend lines on kind of most of your other expenses, income, earnings. So it's a growing burden.
Yeah, and you, in your story, talked to the chief executive at Kaiser Family Foundation, and he likened this to making a major vehicle purchase every year.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it is just sort of an eye-popping number. It's the first year in the Kaiser survey that the combined premium for a family plan has topped $20,000. And, what Drew Altman, the CEO of the Kaiser Family Foundation, said to me was that it's like buying a basic economy car, but buying it every single year. When you think about just that kind of cost, it's, for many families and for many businesses, it's, it's really stressing what's, stretching beyond what's affordable.
I mentioned that this is, we're talking mostly about workplace covered insurance. So this is the insurance most people get through work. Talk to us about the breakdown of this. What is the portion that employees are paying out of this? What's coming out of our pocketbooks as a part of this $20,000?
Sure. So for an average family health plan, so this is something that a spouse and dependents would also be covered by, employees are contributing about $6,000 to the premium. So, it's important to note that employers are still paying the bulk of this premium. They're paying about $14,000, $15,000 of it. And, that's really compensation that the business or the employer is giving to the employer, the worker, but it's compensation that they're getting not in the form of wages, but in the form of health insurance.
And this doesn't cover the other kinds of out-of-pocket expenses that you might have with healthcare, does it? I'm talking a little bit about medications and other things that are not part of that insurance premium.
Right. So this is the premium for the health plan, which would typically include, medical and drug coverage. But, what we've seen over the past number of years is that increasingly these health policies cover less or they expose workers to more of the cost of their coverage. So, more and more employees have deductibles where they have to pay a certain portion of their medical costs before the health plan kicks in. And if you have, it's quite common now to have a deductible of $1,000 or more. And so that's sort of a layer of risk that employees and their families are exposed to, even after paying, what for many people is an extraordinarily high cost for the premium.
Yeah, and it seems like that's where the potential for danger is here. Not necessarily even the potential, the reality of danger. When we talk about surveys of people in the U.S. not having $400 set aside to cover some unexpected borrowing or something like that, this notion that they might be hit with some sort of medical cost could be destructive.
Yeah, I mean, a survey that the Federal Reserve does every year, it sort of asks about emergency savings, and something around 40% of U.S. adults say they can't pay an unexpected $400 expense without either borrowing or selling an asset. So, you know, think about your car breaks down or you have to go for an emergency room visit or, you know, all sorts of just unexpected events that happen all the time. You know, there's a tremendous number of households that just aren't prepared in terms of having savings for that. And then you combine that with health plans that increasingly, you know, in order to lower the premiums or to moderate the increase in the premium cost, they raise deductibles. So, you know, that is, you know, if you're on the hook for $1,000 or $2,000 or sometimes even a $5,000 deductible and you don't have that money in savings, to sort of self-insure, it's not the same as being uninsured, but it's exposing you to a lot of potential financial risk.
I was struck too by part of the story where you talked about the types of employees that might be hit hardest by this, and one part of the story where it was employees who are making less than, I believe, $35,000 a year often end up paying more for their health care coverage. Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's $25,000. But this is part of the Kaiser family's analysis where they kind of look at the characteristics of health plans for employers that are predominantly higher wage employers and those that have a greater share of low wage employees. It just makes sense that, you know, for, you know, think of services businesses with lots of, you know, low wage workers, compensation is, a major cost. They don't necessarily have to offer gold-plated health plans to attract workers. So often those health plans are more expensive to workers. Certainly a big proportion of workers' earnings, they're more expensive because they're just earning less. And I think, you know, the result of that is that a lot of lower-wage workers, you know, often can't afford to buy coverage for their families or, you know, in some cases for themselves, even if the employer is offering offering a policy.
Does the survey talk, and I'm sure you've covered this, but how did we get to this point? What is the reason for this, for all of this?
Yeah, I mean, there's not sort of one simple explanation. I think, you know, this is a trend that's been going on for many years. You know, people talk about, you know, is this the fault of the Affordable Care Act? Well, if you look at the trend lines, it basically, you know, it doesn't shift significantly before or after the Affordable Care Act was passed and implemented. So, you know, what we're really seeing across the U.S. healthcare system is just the costs increasing faster than the economic growth, than earnings, than most other, the rate of increase of most of the rest of the economy. So, you know, that's just there are lots of complicated reasons and theories behind that. What's really driving the cost of health insurance is the underlying cost of medical care, hospital care, physician services, drug prices, so all of that is sort of built into the system and results in rising premiums.
Yeah, and I want to highlight something you just said there, the cost of this, some of this health insurance rising faster than wages for some employees. I know some employers have sort of put the brakes on having their employees pay a little bit bigger share of the cost here, but employers, this is not all employers, it's just some, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing is, we're in a relatively tight labor market. Employers, especially those that have to attract, you know, highly skilled professionals, you know, are kind of rethinking, you know, their strategies. We talked to the CEO of Delta, which announced that they froze employees' contributions to premiums for 2 years. You know, that's certainly, I think, the exception rather than the rule. But, you know, what you are seeing in other surveys is that some of the employers are beginning to back away from the high deductible health plans, or at least give workers an option, you know, either kind of a high deductible plan or a more comprehensive, you know, more generous plan with a higher premium. That, you know, just in the past couple of years, that some employers have kind of said, let's not just only offer a high deductible. Let's give people some other options again.
John, we appreciate you being on with us this morning and sharing your reporting with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
John Tozzi, healthcare reporter at Bloomberg. We'll link out to this story as well, but you can find it at Bloomberg.com.